Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm not.
No, no, you're Cat, too.
I'm Cat with a C.
So this is Cat's Soup today.
Yeah.
Wow, Joe's going to be so proud and so scared.
He will be scared.
So let's get this show on the road.
On the road?
Mm-hmm.
Not the studio. We're not on the road. Joe's on the road.
Joe's on the road, but we're in the
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
You'll understand in a moment.
Sure, I will.
I have some holidays from holidayinsights.com for the week of November 20th through 27th. November 20th is Go for a Ride Day. As the holidays approach, life becomes chaotic and perhaps a bit stressful, so take a breather and go for a relaxing ride. You don't need a destination to enjoy this day, but you certainly can bring friends or family along for company. I want to bring my dog.
Yeah.
Go for a ride. Go for a ride. The means of transportation can be anything. A car, a bus, motorcycle ride might be immediately coming to mind. There are other ways of riding. Take a sleigh ride. Ride a horse. Ride a horse-drawn carriage. Okay, that would be a sleigh ride. Snowmobiles, bicycles, boats. Doesn't a plane ride to a sunny vacation spot sound like fun?
It doesn't sound like fun. It sounds like a necessity right now.
Yeah, exactly. You can't ride my little red wagon.
Oh, come on.
Okay, you can ride it.
Thank you.
Anyway, whatever your means of transportation, have a happy go-for-a-ride day.
Eat a cranberry day.
That's November 23rd, but it's only one cranberry.
Oh.
Eat a cranberry
Dang.
Day. Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And then, oh, what's November 24th?
Thanksgiving.
Yay!
Eat, drink, and be thankful.
And then the most important holiday
Ugh.
Is November 25th, Black Friday.
We're not going to go into that.
No, we're not. We're just going to pass right over that one, aren't we? Because we're cool cats. We're not.
We are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then there is November 20th, 1889. Birthdays, right? For
yes,
the week?
From holidayinsights.com.
Edward Hubble, astronomer.
Mm-hmm.
We have November 25th, 1920.
It was right between 19 and 1921 was 1920.
That's right. And that was, oh, he's so handsome. Ricardo Montalban.
De Plane.
Oh, what an actor.
De Plane. What was that from?
That was from
Fantasy Island. Yes.
And that was Tattoo.
That Tattoo from De Plane.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Oh, no, he wasn't Dracula. He was so suave.
Rich Corinthian leather.
Yes. I got your rich Corinthian leather. Mm-hmm. Okay, November 25th, 1960, John F. Kennedy Jr., son of President Kennedy, magazine editor, died in a plane crash.
Yes.
Oh, wait, but oh, I see. He didn't die in 1960. He was born in 1960.
Right,
I was
going to
say,
birthday.
No, he didn't die until the 90s.
No. Yeah, he died in a plane crash.
Oh.
Planes, I'll tell you.
What? All right, November 26, 1922, Charles Schulz created Peanuts.
You know who my favorite Peanuts character is?
Who?
When Snoopy plays the Red Baron.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember those songs? The Snoopy versus the Red Baron?
No.
Oh, good ones. You got to look
that
up.
Oh, okay. We'll look it up. No, Dave, do not start singing. He's going for the card over there.
And November 26, 1939. Oh, yeah. Tina Turner was born.
She sang that song about big wheel keep on turning.
Yeah,
wheels,
when she was still
wheels.
With her abuser, Ike.
Yes. Mm.
She left him in the dirt, didn't she?
Good for her.
Yay.
Hopefully she got on a fast train to someplace.
She's still making it.
I
big.
Know. And her legs look great.
Yeah, I hope they're insured.
This day in history, from holidayinsights.com, November 20th, 1959, the Ford quit making the unpopular Edsel.
Aww.
Yeah.
November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy, the youngest person to become a U.S. president, is assassinated in Dallas, Texas, as his motorcade traveled through the city.
Mm, and everybody knows where they were that day.
Yeah, I was with my babysitter.
Me too. I was three.
I was four.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
November 23rd, 1835, a patent issued for the horseshoe manufacturing machine.
Really?
Yeah, because horses had to carry carriages and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
But manufacturing, that's cool.
Yeah.
1835. That's amazing.
So any idea what the theme for today is?
Planes.
Trains. And?
Automobiles.
Yay!
It was tough.
Yes.
But I think it was the look in your eyes when I started getting it right.
That's right. So see if you recognize this. What he really wanted was to spend Thanksgiving with his family. What he got was 3 days with a turkey.
Hmm.
Instead of focusing on Thanksgiving, we've taken another path. Our theme is in reference to the 1987 movie starring Steve Martin, John Candy, and Kevin Bacon, which is called...
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
And you've seen that.
It's my it's one of my favorites. It's great.
So what was it about?
Okay. First of all that Neil Page wants to do is get home for Thanksgiving. But his flight's been canceled due to bad weather. He decides to go on other means of transport. Well as bad luck, Neil is blessed with the presence of Del Griffith, shower curtain ring salesman, and all-around blabbermouth, who is never short of advice, conversation, bad jokes, or company. And when he decides that he's going the same direction as Neil...
They have a prize-winning movie. That was a great movie.
Yeah, oh, it was fabulous.
Yes. So our curious word or saying for the day from worldwidewords.com is ride the gravy train. Now, this was obviously written by a Brit, and you'll see why in a minute. Despite our happy acceptance of the phrase, it comes from across the pond.
The big pond, if
the
you will.
The big pond, yes. Perhaps that's why some British writers have expressed confusion, muddle, and doubt about its origin. Might one pondered have gravy train have been misheard for gravid rain? Since, he wrote, gravid means laden with eggs, a gravid rain would seem to imply a fall of eggs, possibly laid by a golden goose from the sky. You've got to be kidding me.
Oh,
ingenious, torturous even, but about as wrong as it could possibly be.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, since another form of the phrase is known, to ride on the gravy boat, you might think it started life as a joke on the name of the container for gravy placed on the table during meals, so-called because it's often roughly, you know, boat-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
But alas, for a promising theory, gravy boat in this sense isn't recorded until the 1940s and is clearly a joke on the older gravy train.
American entomologists have puzzled over it as much as anyone. Charles Earl Funk from Funk and Wagnall thought it might have arisen in railroad lingo, in which gravy run or gravy train meant an easy run with good pay for the train crew. This is much more probable, but unfortunately, there's no evidence to support it. None of the known appearances of gravy train refers to a literal train.
Well, gravy, you know, smooth going and delicious.
Well,
and
not
kind
my
of
gravy.
Rich.
My gravy's lumpy.
Okay, so it's got texture.
Yeah,
okay.
We like chewy gravy at my house.
Well, the experts do generally agree that the phrase has its source in the slang use of gravy for something. See? Easy
or cushy.
Cushy. Simple
so
to do.
Smart.
Yeah,
I'm going to fire
don't
Joe.
Don't tell anybody. Oh, don't do that. Or an unexpected benefit. This is recorded in the major reference books as appearing slightly earlier, like 1910, than Gravy Train, 1914. As a result of the digitization of old newspapers in very recent times, I can take these dates back somewhat. For example, advice to potential advertisers appeared in the Daily Independence of Manassas, Pennsylvania in October 1906. Quote, if you buy right and then tell an exacting public in a clear, concise way, just as you would over your counter, you are then getting in line for good gravy.
Which is much better than bad gravy. But
I don't know. Textured gravy sounds good.
Why and how do trains come in the picture? Well, we don't know, which leaves the matter in an uncertain and unsatisfactory state. Guess what I have?
What do you... Oh, I know what you have.
I have a
You've
top
a list.
Five list from top5.com.
Awesome.
You're going to love this one. You're going to
love
this one.
I love all
one.
Your lists, actually.
This one's really cool. I had no input into this one.
Okay.
This is an older one. These are the top 11 features of a car... designed just for women.
All right.
Number 11 is Tom Cruise control.
Oh. Number 10, the mirror reads, bums in your mirror appear smaller because they really are smaller. It's not an optical illusion, and you look totally smoking in those khakis.
Well, thank you. Number 9, whenever an unattractive man turns the ignition, the engine doesn't start, and a voice states, it's not you, it's me.
Ooh, I like this one. The radio filters out stupid men's voices 1 week out of every month.
Ah.
Nice.
Number 7, out, lumbar support, in emotional support.
Oh, number 6, lower dash mounted fan, because you try wearing pantyhose all day in July, mister. You try it.
This one's my favorite. In lieu of a honking horn, steering wheel shouts, you're fat, at drivers threatening cars.
Ooh, I like the fake steering wheel and pedals on the passenger side. So, as in every other aspect of the marriage, hubby can pretend he's in control.
And there's no reaction from Dave. No, none. Number three.
Oh, he's still here?
No. During PMS, OnStar System locates the nearest chocolate retailer.
That's the winner right there.
Oh, no. Keep reading.
Number two, at tune-ups, the car requests gasoline with oil separately on the side, dry wiper fluid, towel-padded engine block, and please put on the new tires before doing the alignment.
And the number one feature of a car designed for women.
Refuses to open the doors without 20 minutes of foreplay and a bouquet of roses.
Oh, that just worked so much better with you and I than it would
my
have with
mother,
Joe.
The car, remember that?
Oh my gosh, that was a great show.
But we wouldn't remember because we're too young.
Oh yeah, I saw reruns.
Yeah.
You know, dumbcriminals.com came through for us this week. We have a great dumb criminals.
You can always count on the dumb criminals.
This one is called Come Fly the Not-So-Friendly Skies.
Planes.
Airports are a huge pain in the neck, believe me, I know, because my neck hurts all the time. But this guy took things to an extreme when he pretended to be a federal agent just so he wouldn't miss his flight, according to the Associated Press.
Yeah, that's frowned on. The suspect in question arrived at his gate just in time to watch his flight taking off without him. So he did the most rational thing he could at the time. He claimed he was an air marshal and was supposed to be on the flight that was leaving the gate. It was a perfectly reasonable assumption for the airline to make. It's not unreasonable to believe, since Hurricane Katrina, that federal officials would be lousy at timing.
Unfortunately, the suspect forgot one little important detail.
What's that?
The plane already had an air marshal on it.
Oops.
So the suspect goes to where else? The airport bar to complain about the airline. I suppose he was hoping he wouldn't stick out in the crowd.
No, of course
no.
not.
Oh, another list.
Oh, I love your list.
Another list from top5.com. The top 11 signs your travel agent has misled you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with a travel agent?
I have friends that are travel agents, and they have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
You might enjoy giving this to them.
I think I will.
Number 11, every time you get back from a sightseeing excursion, Mr. Blix demands to know if you found anything.
Ooh. Number 10. Alabama, Stan, ain't really a country in Eastern Europe.
Europe. I like that. It's Europe. Number 9, it turns out that Cocker City, Kansas, only has the world's second largest ball of twine.
Aw, that's not fair. You've driven halfway around New Zealand and have yet to see a single hobbit. Really?
Number 7, your Turkish tour guide says, on your left, you see my ping pong table? Now I kiss you.
Uh-oh. Number six. Sun? Check. Sand? Check. Carrying an M16 while being shouted at by a drill sergeant?
Uh-oh. Number 5. The Transylvania tour is nothing but a visit to a Polish union town in Ohio led by a couple of goth chicks.
Now, I got to tell you, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It does, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I have you ever been a goth? Never mind.
I was never goth. I was punk.
Oh, yeah.
I had pink hair at one time.
You know, there's not a whole lot of difference except that the one's pink, colorful and one's black.
Colorful, yes.
We'll just, mm-hmm. 4, you're amazed at the number of Australians who know how to yodel. And your old lady, too.
Number 3, Afghana Disney appears to be nothing but two guys and a real mouse.
Number 2, hey, isn't that Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio in... on the Lido deck?
That's not a good sign. No, no,
no. No, no,
no. But the number one sign your travel agent has misled you.
Number 1, your singles cruise turns out to be a cargo ship full of Kraft American cheese slices. Yeah. I think that'd be a dead giveaway.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Now, we do a thing here since this is your orientation episode. We do the weekly rant, so we need to rant while we do this.
Oh, I'll try.
Okay, yeah, I know that's going to be a stretch for you, dear. This is from cracked.com, and these are the dumbest things ever done by airport security.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing we could fill a whole show with this, probably.
Yeah.
But we only have a few here. If there's one holiday ritual we all know and hate, it's that yearly trip to the airport where the friendly security man awaits with his x-ray machine, his metal detector, and possibly a well-lubed rubber glove.
Ouch.
While none of us want to spend the holidays involved in a terrorist incident, unless, of course, you're living in the Die Hard universe.
Yeah, like my son.
You have to admit that sometimes security gets a little out of hand. And then there are horror stories like...
terrorist's breast safely disarmed with pliers. Just another day in line, Mandy Hamblin was just trying to grab a flight from Lubbock, Texas. She made it through the main security scanners, and her various metal piercings hadn't set off any alarms. Then she was wanded by a female TSA employee and discovered that, without her knowledge, her breasts had joined Al-Qaeda.
Uh-oh. Apparently, figuring that the metal nipple rings were there to disguise some kind of implanted boob laser, Hamblin was forced to remove both of her piercings. One came out with no problem, but the other had to be removed using pliers.
Ow!
This was done behind a screen while, according to Hamblin, male agents stood nearby laughing at her. Here's what the Transportation Security Mission had to say for itself.
Quote, TSA supports the thoroughness of the officers involved as they were acting to protect the passengers and crews of the flights departing Lubbock that day. In the future, TSA will inform passengers that they have the option to resolve the alarm through a visual inspection of the article in lieu of removing the item in question. Oh,
we suppose the visual inspection beats the hands-on approach, though it's just a matter of time until Al-Qaeda develops some kind of poisonous nanodart that can fire out of those piercings and kill everyone on board, or at least that's what keeps happening in the dream that we dare not tell our therapist about.
No, we shouldn't. Do you remember that James Bond movie at the Oktoberfest when the person's bra little flaps
yes.
came open and they were, what was that, like those, like saws?
Yeah.
Saw blades going,
yeah,
that see?
That killer, must be, see, it could happen.
Killer tatas.
Could happen.
All right. All men named David Nelson are terrorists.
Of course.
Just another day in line. You probably know that all airline passenger lists are compared against no-fly lists, which the TSA didn't even want to admit existed at one time. The problem is that, as it turns out, sometimes more than one person in the world shares the same name.
Uh-oh. So, you can imagine the chaos that erupted when a David Nelson somehow wound up on the list.
My cousin's on the list?
David Nelson, yeah. Oh. That name isn't exactly distinctive,
no.
as, say, Flava Flav. So the result was many, many David Nelsons getting pulled out of line every single time they flew, including one David Nelson who got called out by security 4 times on one trip.
Oh, I guess they don't have a memory. It doesn't help that the process to get your name removed from the watch list takes at least a month and a half, and that the ACLU had to sue even to get that. In a nice touch of irony, one of the lawyers who was working for the ACLU was named David Nelson.
I like that. To make things worse, an easier way to get off the no-fly list is to just change your name, as one Canadian man did. Yes, the entire no-fly list is founded on the idea that terrorists are stupid enough to fly using their own name. Now, of course, the whole block every flyer with the same name thing doesn't apply to obvious cases. Like, they're not pulling little David Nelson babies out of the line or anything, right? Right? Right?
Uh-oh. Yep. TSA employees pulled Matthew Gardner out of line because somebody with that name showed up on a federal most wanted list. Matthew is 5. Agents searched the belongings of both Matthew and his mom. When the mother went to comfort the upset child, she was told to back away. Because, you know, it totally says right here on the screen that he, like, shot 6 dudes at a bank in Reno.
A little tiny gun.
But, hey, we've heard of little kids' suicide bombers before, right? It could happen. And really, can you ever be too careful?
Oh, goodness.
God.
Goodness, goodness.
Way too far.
The next one. All we need to take the plane is a butter knife and the pilot. Just another day in line. Anybody protecting our safety on airlines obviously isn't going to let somebody bring a knife on board. And, of course, the TSA plays things safe by confiscating thousands of Swiss Army knives and others that could make darn fine weapons in the hands of a trained nut job.
Nail files, anyone?
Right. We're not going to complain about that, are we?
Uh-oh. Well, there's the case of Patrick Smith, who got stopped with a butter knife. A butter knife from the plane. It was one of those knives they give you with your in-flight meal. But what was this crazy man doing trying to sneak airplane-issued silverware through security anyway? Why couldn't he have just waited to get one with his meal, like a normal person?
Well, the airline issued it to him because he works for them as a pilot. And all of this happened while he was standing in line there in full pilot uniform.
Oh, boy.
Wrap your mind around that. If this man was a terrorist and intended to fly a plane into a building, he doesn't need a knife to get into the cockpit. They pay him to sit there.
Yeah. And to make things worse, which sets stringent standards, they catch every dangerous knife, right?
Mm.
Well, there was somebody who got through a security checkpoint with a 4-inch knife blade after getting his apparently far more dangerous pudding confiscated.
Because you know that pudding can be real dangerous.
Yuck.
As for all those knives they do confiscate, you might be wondering what happens to them. After all, some of these knives are cherished possessions of the owners or beloved heirlooms. So, of course, there's a process to get them back.
Oh, really? What is that?
eBay.
Uh-oh. Well, break your ankle for national security. Just another day in line. Obviously, crutches are a big problem for metal detectors because you can't exactly tell a guy with a broken leg to hop through without them. So the TSA has a perfectly reasonable policy in place for their employees to follow. Unless, of course, that employee is a jerk.
Imagine. Uh-oh. Just ask Laura Dunlap. She had sprained an ankle and was on crutches. So what did her friendly TSA screener do?
What?
He took away her crutches and forced her to stand on her sprained ankle, causing 2 fractures. Lona is looking into her legal options, and the TSA says it's taking such claims very seriously.
Well, to make things worse, there's this story of a woman who, due to childhood polio, needs braces, crutches, and a wheelchair just to get around. She was blocked from flying unless she dropped her pants behind a sheet in public terminal.
Ooh.
This sounds like they'd be required to stand up to do that, which just would be impossible for somebody in a wheelchair. But, of course, that's just what a terrorist would want us to think.
Of course. We have some lies.
Okay. Yes. What else is new?
This is...
Oh, lie of the day.
Yes, from HaLife.com.
HaLife?
Yes, HaLife. This is Dave's Web of Lies. You can get the lie of the day actually emailed to you if you'd like.
All I have to do is talk to my kids.
Oh, yeah, well, really. Yeah. Dave's Web of Lies employs a trained team of specialist researchers to trawl the world's information net seeking out falsehoods. But? There's a disclaimer.
There is? Oh, whilst we exhaustively examine each of our lies for any specks of truth and reject any found not to contain even a glimmer of reality, we cannot guarantee that our lies are not in fact true. Oh, good disclaimer.
Yes, and here's the first one. All Chinese bus and train drivers have been trained to cook and eat their vehicle in case of extreme emergency.
That's handy.
That's a lie. For the past 15 years, train announcers have had to use special voice mufflers as not to deafen passengers. This is due to National Rail installing 25 15-inch subwoofers into each carriage. And hundreds and thousands of baby seals die every year as a result of their habit of train surfing.
Aww.
The seals treat the ability to surf on a high-speed train as a passage to adulthood.
Extensive research has shown that the...
Extensive research has shown that the most cost-effective method of replanting grass is by airplane.
Mm.
The major player in this lucrative field of aerial agriculture is a new startup company called Reseeding Airlines.
That's a lie.
So laxly were quality standards applied to the product of the Yugo automobile that even the country it was built in fell apart.
That's a lie?
I don't know. Upon entering Arkansas, as some want to say, tourists must check their automobiles and accept a complimentary mule.
Well, yeah, that's a lie sometimes. Another list. We have another list.
Woo-hoo!
The top 12 things overheard on the JetBlue plane that was delayed 10 hours.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which one?
Yeah, really. Number 12, at least it's bearable now that the screaming baby is properly stowed in the overhead bin.
Number 11, flight attendant, I have a shoe bum. Can I leave now?
Number 10, you'd think it's pretty clear by now that there are no snakes on this thing.
9, coffee, tea, Xanax.
8, another vodka and cranberry juice? Certainly, Miss Lowen. Let me bring you a fresh air sickness bag, too.
Number 7, forget more peanuts. That poodle in E6 is looking pretty tasty
Ew. We apologize, but for safety reasons, we cannot deploy the oxygen masks, despite the gentleman in 15C who had the chili burrito last night.
Nicotine gum, right here. Only $200. Going once?
Number 4. The good news is this gives the captain time to sober up.
Ooh.
That's not funny.
Number 3. Ladies and gentlemen, to help pass the time, we will be screening the complete 4-season run of Blossom.
I liked Blossom.
Did you?
Yes, and her friend 6.
Blossom. Oh, that was
remember?
The one that she was.
Yeah,
yeah, Sabrina, the teenage witch was on.
Yeah, we've never seen her again since then.
Yeah, Sabrina.
Bill Bixby was the director.
Okay.
Okay.
until he passed
Hi, Dave.
Away.
Yay. Oh, that's cool.
Number two, those of you on the left side of the plane may be able to see travelers lucky enough to be stranded inside the terminal.
And you didn't want to make that director mad.
No. He could get off the plane.
Yes. Yes.
And the number one thing overheard on the JetBlue plane delayed 10 hours?
We apologize for the delay, but all the de-icing equipment is being used for the Hillary 2012 campaign.
Ooh, you are in so much trouble.
I know, I'm in so much trouble. Ooh. Please don't write, don't send emails, don't call. Not the opinion of the station, just stuff we found on the internet. We have some ruminations.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what ruminations are?
Well, kind of.
To ruminate. These come from ruminate.com, which is a sister website of top5.com.
Okay.
Ruminate is kind of mull things over, think, ponder. Mm-hmm. So these are interesting little things. The first one is by Travis Rutnick, who actually lives in Japan. That's why I thought this one was so interesting. Songwriting tip. Anywhere is a delicate alternative to admitting the midnight train is going to Akron.
Well, you know, there are other Akrons.
I guess.
This guy I don't like was doing origami the other day, so I sent out my squadron of paper airplanes to do their thing. Those swans didn't stand a chance.
Oh, my.
On Andrew Panos.
Do you know what my son decided when he was about six? I bought him an origami kit.
Uh-huh.
And he decided that origami was the Japanese word for how to drive your son crazy.
Oh, he's right.
Yes, it was the worst gift ever in the world.
Yeah, it sounded good at the time.
Now, I like this one. Relationships should come with those little black boxes that airplanes have. That way, when they crash and burn, we'd actually get some answers. That's by Karina Bunch. I love that one.
Yeah, I like that too.
Now, part of your orientation here, we always do an Irish blessing.
Irish blessing.
And I could not find anything that had anything to do with transportation. So I just found an interesting one.
Well, we'd have to cross the big pond to get over to Ireland, don't you know?
I know. So we can pretend that we are there.
All right.
So the Irish blessing from IslandIreland.com, which has all kinds of interesting Irish things.
IslandIreland.com.
Yes,
I like that.
Yes.
May the frost never affect your... let me start over. May the frost never afflict your spuds.
May the leaves of your cabbage always be free from worms.
May the crows never pick your haystack.
And if you inherit a docky, may she be in full. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy... I liked having you here today.
I had fun,
that
too.
That was really fun.
I had fun.
But... all things come to an end.
That's okay.
The train has to end up in the station.
I'll be ruminating over this for a long time.
Yeah. Okay. That's all we have for today. I am Kat.
And I am Joe. No, I'm not Joe.
You're Kat with a C.
Right.
And I'm Kat with a K. And together we are
Kat Soup,
the best of internet humor on the radio.
Bye.
I'm flat broke, but I don't care. I struck right by with my tail in the air.